Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by Mallory Marlowe. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. I'm very excited to be here.
Mallory Marlowe is an author and video game writer living in Los Angeles, California. Seriously, right brain since childhood, her love of telling stories began with highly elaborate plots for her Barbie dolls and taking elementary school writing projects too seriously. She studied writing for film and TV at Emerson College, and when she isn't writing, she's likely reading Stuck in LA Traffic or has fallen down a weird internet rabbit hole. I mean, that sounds about usual for everybody. Not so much the LA traffic, but.
I wouldn't wish that on everybody, that is for sure.
Well, welcome. So
Thank
let's go
you.
ahead and dive right in. So, what drew you to publish your first romance book?
So I've been writing like my whole life, and I started writing books back in like middle school and high school, and they were not very good. But I was doing it for me because I loved it, and I grew up like, as a teenager during that big YA boom of like the, 2007 to like 2015, where everything had a romance subplot in it. And so it just got like ingrained in me really young that like every book is gonna have some kind of romance in it. And so as I, went to college and started working, I just had less and less time. But then when the pandemic happened, I was suddenly not sitting in LA traffic for 4 hours a day. So I was like, let me go back to this thing that I have always wanted to do that has always been this really deep passion of mine. And I started writing romance again, and discovered, that there's this whole adult contemporary romance space that I could write in, and that, there are characters who are just like me. And so I wrote my debut novel, Love and Other Conspiracies, and that came out last year. And now I am just ready to put kissing in whatever I possibly can, whatever books I can.
So your series, like, it deals in conspiracy theories essentially, because book one, it was Bigfoot, and book two, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, is all about UFOs. What drew you to that subject matter?
I've always just loved like the paranormal and the otherworldly. That I grew up, going to ghost tours like in every, city that we went to, and watching all of the spooky shows on TV, and I just have always loved it. And so I love infusing something as like human as romance and falling in love with these things that are not very human or something we can't
Not
really
necessarily
explain.
romantic.
Also, also not very romantic. Like hunting Bigfoot and, cryptids is not exactly your first date idea for most people, I would think.
Although,
I seem to work for them, but
yeah, my husband, he's a big fan of like the Bigfoot shows, and we watch, I mean, not as much now. He watches a lot of weird stuff now, but he was like, we watched a lot of like the ghost hunter shows and things like that. I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, it
It's
was
really
entertaining.
fun.
I will give you that. But yeah, he's always been a fan. Like, we actually have like a cutout of a Bigfoot that a guy made, like a steel cutout of Bigfoot, like just hanging out at our house
That is
because a
so
guy at
much
work made it. And
fun.
he was like, I brought it home. I'm like, okay
I
then.
love that.
So, how, as a writer, do you balance the development of the romantic relationship with the other elements of the story?
I mean, that's a challenge every time because I think like I write pretty plot heavy books. Like I really love a good external plot, and especially Love at First Sighting has a really, big external plot. I try to tie them as close as I can. I try to infuse those plot beats and moments with character building moments. So I'm like, how can they grow closer while they're doing X, Y, and Z? How can they fall for each other while they are, investigating a creepy underground archive, which is a thing that happens in Love at First Sighting. Like, what brings them closer together, so that they don't have to happen separate from one another? It's not like you have plot moments and then romance moments. It's like, how do you fuse them together? And one of the other things that I love, especially about paranormal, is I love using the otherworldly and the paranormal as like a metaphor for the character's wounds in a way. And so for Hallie in Love and Other Conspiracies, a big thing is that she doesn't really believe in herself, and she also doesn't believe in cryptids or conspiracy theories either. And so, throughout this course of falling in love with Hayden, she's rediscovering her, confidence in herself, but also being like, I don't know, do I believe in ghosts? Do I believe in aliens? I don't know. Maybe there's room for change there as well.
Do you have any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused?
I don't. I have ADHD, and so getting me to focus can be really hard sometimes. But I do really try to carve out time where I'm like, this is your writing time. I use weekends and, evenings. It usually involves like sitting down at my laptop. I will often put on like an ambient video, so it'll be like, cozy witch cabin, ambient video, and it's just like little birds chirping and, something that's very calming. Or if I can find something that really fits the scene that I'm writing, that's great. And then I just kind of force myself to get to work. I do a lot of writing sprints because they really hold me accountable, being like, here, 20 minutes, you do not do anything else.
Do you, because I know there are some authors who like they'll get an idea, they'll write in their
Yeah.
phone and they write like most of their book on their phone or in their notes section, or they'll like have random post-it notes
Yeah.
everywhere. Are you one of those people, or do you just kind of like, do you need to have the laptop in front of you for you to like recognize this is time for me to write?
For me, yeah, usually I have to have the laptop. I'm not a very fast typer on my phone, so I feel like if I did that, it would just take me like years to write a book. But I jot down notes, like if I'm, driving or I'm out running errands and something comes up and I'm like, oh, wait, I have to remember that. I'll put it in a notes app. But I'll also sometimes, like in early stages, or if I'm like doing something that requires me to be a little bit more visual about my plotting, I'll just like write it down by hand on a notebook page. But usually when it comes to like actually drafting the words, I've got to have my laptop.
Now, for your books themselves, do you
Yeah.
plan out an outline, or are you a pantser and just kind of let the words and the characters flow? Because I've talked to ADHD authors and like
Yeah.
there's both sides of
I
it.
know. Yeah, I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle because I do try to plan pretty well. And it always helps me to know where I'm going. However, I sometimes get so excited about the idea that I just kind of jump in and start writing before I figured everything out. And then I'm like, yeah, that'll be a later me problem. So I try to be really organized and think things through ahead of time, but sometimes just, the itch to create gets me.
Now, are you a reader as well?
Oh yeah, huge
And
reader.
what subgenre do you read the most?
I mean, I read mostly romance, but I do love, branching out into fantasy and into horror, sci-fi here and there. I'm pretty open as long as the blurb catches my attention. But I love paranormal romance, obviously. It's what I write in. But pretty much everything I read has a romance slant to it.
Now, do you have like a bucket list like romance that you would like to write, like a romance? Because a lot of authors are br like
Oh,
branching into the romantasy world. They've always wrote
yeah.
contemporary. Some like are contemporary and want to do historical, or historicals are hitting the contemporary
Yeah.
world. They're like, I have this opportunity, I'm gonna take it. Is there any
Oh,
like, I
man.
mean, you're a newer author,
Yeah.
so you haven't been like immersed in that world super
Yeah.
long, but.
Yeah, I mean, I really love challenging myself and branching out and doing something I haven't done before. And so I would love to write in whatever genre the ideas come to me in. So I definitely have, ideas that are much more horror or much more romanticy, things that, kind of go a little bit further than the, light spooky that I would say my rom-coms are doing right now. I would love to write like a really cool romanticy, like something with hot people and swords, maybe some scary monsters. Yeah, like I could see
Swords
a
and
dark
scary monsters.
romanticy being something I have a really, really fun time with.
I like romanticy, it's hit or miss for me. It's
Yeah.
not my go-to like subgenre, but
Yeah.
I have read a couple where I'm like, I can see why people really immerse
Oh,
themselves in
yeah.
these.
Oh, yeah.
But I also read this horror romance. I was doing a quote pool for an author, and I was like, I don't know about this, but it was really intriguing. I'm like,
Yeah.
I can see why people like this, but it's just there was so much going on and like thought that went, not
Yeah.
that thought doesn't go into any book, but there was just the way the plot worked out. And like, there's a lot of like nuance in this that I was
Yes.
not expecting.
Yeah, horror is fascinating. I think because it is one of those genres that is usually saying something pretty profound about people or about society. And so I think that's kind of interesting when you meld it with romance. And when you kind of look at it, a lot of the beats are sort of similar, which is really fun. So I would also love to write a horror romance. That is something that I would love to do. Because I also grew up as, a huge fan of horror movies, and I love being scared. So I think, I mean, when your adrenaline is high, you're gonna be more inclined to fall in love with somebody. That's like why they,
Yeah, this is true.
that's why they make them go skydiving and stuff on like The Bachelor, because you're gonna fall in love with somebody when you're like, it's this
Free
whole
falling and
science, yeah,
hoping you
it's a whole
don't.
scientific thing that I did not realize, but I was like, oh, that's fascinating.
That is
But they
pretty
do make them
interesting.
do that all the time.
So, do you, as either a reader or a writer, have a favorite trope?
Oh gosh, I love like hurt comfort or like sick comfort, like any kind of caretaking, just it undoes me. I think it's really sweet. But I also love second chance romance. There's something so the yearning is unmatched. And I love yearning.
I mean, if it's done right, a second chance can be
Yeah.
really dynamic.
I know it can be tough. It's, there is always that argument of like, well, why didn't it work out the first time? But, for some people, it is very much so right person, wrong time, or they were just not in the right place and they are now. So, yeah, I think it leads to some really interesting character dynamics as well and exploration of what these characters' wounds are.
So let's talk Love at First Sight. So it
Yeah.
came out August 12th, 2025.
Yeah.
It is in the rom-com and paranormal world. So it is about influencer
Yeah.
Ariel L. Martin and special agent Carter Brody. He is part of the private intelligence sector, aka PIS.
AKA piss.
Which I thought that was funny because honestly, when I read it the first time, I was like, that's where my head went. And then when she's like,
Yes.
so you work for PIS? He's like, no, it's PIS. And she's
Yeah.
like, this?
Yeah. Yeah, no, when I first brought that to my editor, she was like, "You do realize that that's what that spells out." I'm like, "Yes, I do."
You're like, I did that on
But
purpose.
I'm
There's a
like, "Yes,
reason for
it was
this.
a silly joke. I think it's funny 'cause I apparently have the humor of like a 5-year-old."
It's okay. I mean, sometimes potty humor is the best, especially when it's
it's
like, subtle potty humor.
Yeah, and you also like, that, if you've worked in like corporate America in any way, that they
Oh.
take things like that very, very seriously. And it's like, you
Well,
do realize that sounds silly, right?
and sometimes like it is unintentionally bad,
Yeah.
and they're like, why did you do that? And they didn't
Yes.
even realize it,
No.
which I think is even funnier when it's like an accidental,
Yeah.
like funny one.
And they're like, this sounds so cool, but it's like, does
Yeah,
it?
initials are important, people.
Yes.
Initials are important. So let's talk L and Bur Carter. So
Yeah.
Carter is, he's kind of the guy who is very capable but doesn't think that he's capable because the
Yeah.
people around him tell him he's incapable of doing
Yeah.
things, but he's actually a lot more like ahead of the game than he realizes.
Yeah, totally. No, he thinks he's really worthless, but he actually has a lot of uses. And like the word that I think like L uses to describe him most often is like he's effective. Like he does get things done despite the fact that he seems kind of like a himbo, but he knows what he's doing. He just has kind of been belittled for so long that it's gotten in his head.
Well, because there's something that happens in the book, and I'm not going to spoil any of
Yeah.
it. And he's like, maybe my firearm tests were not as bad as
Yeah.
I was told they were. And I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, buddy. Like, I
Oh,
just want to
bud.
hug you
I
right
know.
now.
He's a sweet little sad boy. I do love him. He's such a special character to me.
He's such a nice guy too.
Yeah.
Like he gen like when he first meets Al, like he stalks her,
Yeah.
But it's okay because he's
Yeah.
doing it in the name of the law. And
Yeah, it's
so,
his
like, but
job.
he's instantly attracted to her, but he just wants to really take care of her, too.
He wants her to see herself the way that I think he sees her, which is like so smart, so savvy, beautiful, not just because she, wears a lot of makeup and dresses well. It's like he just thinks that she's like so naturally gorgeous, and he really does appreciate her for what she is. Like, I think when a lot of people might be dismissive of her being an influencer, he's kind of like, no, that takes a lot of, it takes a lot of smarts to do that. And, you are a business person. Like, it
Well,
isn't easy.
and that's one thing that she talks about, like how it's all an act. Like everything is an act. And she says it from like page one. So I'm not spoiling anything there. But it's like she shows you the perfection. She has to really be aware of how she's going into public, doing anything. But he really sees past like that mask of hers and recognizes, like, and she calls it her beige life or beige something. Like, I don't remember how she worded it in the book, but like, he never saw her as beige. Like, he saw her as all the colors that she was constantly like wearing and talking about. And like, she was full of color, but she never saw herself that way.
Like she kind of caters to a very certain aesthetic. I think the phrase she actually uses is like beige bitch world.
It might have been that. I couldn't remember the
Yeah, like
phrasing.
she also is like, I have to post things that coordinate with this color, so it looks good on the grid. And it all has to look good, but he's kind of like, it doesn't have to look like that. It can be, whatever you want. Your life can look exactly however you want it to be, but he also is somebody who's like struggling to have that for himself as well. So I really like that they get to find that genuine happiness with each other.
Well, and I like the parallel to the fact that that is actually how a lot of people live their lives now. Like, they live their lives like as a social media like force. And it's like that, like what you see is not how life really is. And like seeing that other side to L, like it really shows you like you're only seeing what people want you to see.
And I think it's super true. And I think that that's like how a lot of things are, even if you're like not famous, like, you're not posting like, here's how bad my day was, or here's, I hate my job and it sucks. I mean, some people are, but you're posting a lot of wins and you're posting these picture perfect sides of your life, and that aren't necessarily the full picture. And I think then we all get in our heads being like, well, everybody is doing better than I am. But it's only because they're, putting out what they choose to put out. So it kind of was like, oh yeah, not everybody is perfect behind the camera and behind all the filters.
So when like Carter meets Elle because she is being chased by this UFO and she does a live stream of it and chaos has consumed her life essentially. But as we meet him and get to know him more, like his mom passed away when he was young and then his dad raised him until he was killed. And then, but there's like this mystery, like caper side to everything too. Like they're trying to figure out like what this UFO is, but then Carter also wants to know like what really happened with his dad. And so like we get all these different layers of like mystery and intrigue as the book progresses.
And that was, I mean, super fun, but also very challenging to write because I'd never really written like a mystery before. And I was afraid I couldn't do it. But I wanted to try, and I felt like this was kind of the perfect story to do it with. And I deliberately wanted to keep the mystery small. Like, I didn't want it to be this like huge, government conspiracy where we take down, the CIA or anything. That is not
Well,
it.
I mean, he
I
works in a really small like group too, so it
Yeah,
kind of worked out.
exactly. They're a little dinky, and not very with
Yeah, they're
the
definitely like the minor, not even really the minor leagues, or
times.
like double A.
They're like the intramural league. Yeah, they're not really they don't even like upgrade their computers. It's really
Well,
sad.
I thought it was so funny when he was talking about the cameras, like in the office. He's like, yeah, it's just a modified Ring doorbell system.
It's like it's not fancy whatsoever.
He's like, it's okay, I fix the Keurig 3 times a week. Don't you worry, I got this.
Yeah, he's like covered in ink because he's the one fixing the printer and oh,
He's like a little jack of all trades, but
yeah, he
he's so
is.
capable at the same time.
Yeah, he is, you know, I mean, he's also like the resident like Gen Z kid in the office, and they're like, "Can you please help with this? We don't know what we're doing." It's
Well,
like
but then he has Toby, his little
his
like
intern,
minion that he's teaching the ways.
who he's not off to a great start either.
Toby seems like he's a special person.
Yeah, Toby might have lied on his resume.
I
I
mean,
think.
a little bit. I mean,
I've
he does have an in. There's a little nepo baby
Oh
working there.
yes.
But their connection, it makes sense and it works really well. And it's like there's a slow burn to it, but it's not that like their relationship isn't progressing. Like they're learning so much about each other. And it's one of those things where like they don't open up really to anybody. They neither one of them really have anybody. Like Elle, like she has her mom, but her mom only wants her when she can give her money. And Carter, like he has Marcus, but Marcus is kind of checked out and only like, I mean, he took him in when he needed to, but then there's not like a real true relationship there. So they're both kind of loners. And then they find each other, and it's like there's this whole new dynamic for them to adjust to.
That's like my favorite part is just when lonely people get to find each other. I think there's something really special about that, and these two really need it.
Well, and I think it's one of those things too. They recognized they were lonely, but they didn't recognize like how truly lonely they were until like they started like their relationship and moving forward with everything. It's like, wow, my life is really small.
Yeah, it's like this is what it could be. Like, wow, I didn't know that the potential to be this happy existed. Which is sad, but I'm happy for them now.
But it's so realistic at the same time. Like, there's so many people who are living lives like that.
And you just don't even realize like how insufficient things feel sometimes. And then
That's a
when you're
really good way to
given,
put it.
and then when you're given this like really beautiful opportunity, it just kind of feel it, like I like what you were saying about color before. It's like it fills your life with color, and I think that that's very much so how these two work and fall in love.
Well, and they like they're just so much more than either one of them are able to recognize. And I had it not been for like the other person, they never would have recognized that. So what's next for you?
So I have a third book in the pipeline. It is called Entities to Lovers, and it is slated to come out sometime next fall. And that is another rom-com in the paranormal space. But this one is like actually paranormal. We are actually going to deal with ghosts and mediums. And the elevator pitch for that is two rival ghost tour guides. End up getting cursed by a matchmaking ghost, and they can never leave each other's sides or things go wrong. And so it is their quest to break this curse and figure out how they can like get away from each other because they are very firmly believing they don't like each other, but we all know how that's gonna
I'm intrigued by that. So
Yeah.
they're cursed ghost
Yes.
hunters.
Yeah, ghost tour guides. So they are
Ghost
like
tour
giving like
guide.
a
Oh, like New
full.
Orleans like ghost tours or like the
So
bot like
they
in
are.
Boston they have those too.
Yeah, and it is set in Boston. So it is like they are on the trolley, they're dressed as ghosts and, Victorian dead people, and they are telling everybody all about these haunted places, and that's their
Now, have
job.
you personally went on one of these Boston ghost
Many.
tours? So you're like, if I was on one of these
Yeah, I was
and
like,
this
what
happened to me type of thing.
if? Yeah, totally. Because I went to school in Boston, and we would do that kind of thing like at Halloween, and they do a very similar setup where they are like all dressed in the fun costumes and makeup, and it's always just such a blast. Like I will try to go to a ghost tour in every like haunted city that I go to because they're great.
Don't know if I could do that. I don't really like scary things, though.
They tend to not be super scary. They're more fun because I mean they also cater to kids, so like
Is
they're
oh,
not
well, that's a
trying
little
to
bit different then.
yeah like you can go on them at any age, but like they're not like terrifying you. They're mostly silly, actually, but it's really cool. You learn interesting history, even things that maybe are not as haunted, but it's like, this was a
I
creepy
would
place.
like the history aspect to it.
Yeah, and I think especially in a place like Boston, New Orleans, I would love to go
Where there's
there
a
and take
lot
a,
of deep, rich history.
yeah, exactly. And like spooky history, or like things that are just a little bit off. Like, I love kind of the weird corners of history that we don't really talk about as often. And yeah.
My oldest, he likes history, but he thinks ghosts are cool too. So we he is a we're going to Gettysburg. We're gonna
Oh,
go.
that'll be
He and my husband
awesome.
went a couple years ago, and he wants to go back. And so
Yeah.
we're pit stopping there before we and head to our final destination. But
Yeah.
yeah, so he's excited about that. But my husband's like, "Let's go on one of the ghost tours," and the kids are like, "No, thank you."
I
Like,
mean,
I don't want
that's
to
a
do that
good
either.
place to go on a ghost tour. It
It
is
is,
really spooky
yes.
there.
It definitely is. But I'm like, yeah, maybe not yet.
Yeah.
We're not quite ready for that step yet. Well, thank you, Mallory, so much for
Thank
coming
you.
on and chatting and talking. Love at first sighting. I really enjoyed the Carter and Elle dynamic, and
Thank
I
you.
hope that everybody else does as well.
Me too.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.